Here we go with the citizen lobbyist.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Just good. Coming off this interview with A1 Ivy has just left me with a sense that there are people that really are passionate about what they do, and I think I'm looking forward to the musical and whatever comes of her next book, if you will.
Oh, the musical. That's something, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, you have opportunities. It opens in April, mid-April in Washington, D.C. Then it'll be coming here to Anchorage. And then it will be also down in Juneau. Perseverance Theater will be performing it. So a lot of opportunities in one way or the other.
What's the date, again, for listeners? What is the date of the D.C. one? Do you know?
I believe it's the opening is roughly the 13th of April. And the best way to do this, we have found, is to contact the Arena Stage. You can Google Arena Stage and go there directly. There are all kinds of ways to obtain tickets, but I found that was the best. You can take a look and see what's available, different locations, et cetera.
Well, good to know, Michael. I'm really proud of it. Really felt gratifying to have somebody that grew up here that is not only just an amazing, talented individual, but extremely humble. And you just don't find that with that success so often. So kudos for her, and I'll look forward to that interview when you get it posted later.
Yep, I'm going to put it, we ran it today, and I'll be putting it up on the website so people can listen to it and get some sense of things. Sure. So
should we talk about the borough assembly meeting, Mike?
Oh, let's do that. Let's do that.
Okay. So we did have a borough assembly meeting. It was on Tuesday, and all members of the assembly were there, but Assemblyman Beck, who was traveling for business.
Right.
Everybody was there. They had some reports from the cities. I think most notably on that, Mike, was from Nate Wallace from the city of Palmer talking about the challenges with the windstorm, and which is not a good combination to numerous pickup days for garbage runs.
That's true.
And the landfill was closed for 4 days, as most people know. So the city necessitated the city because, you know, the contents don't ever change there to take it elsewhere. And they ended up taking a lot of that refuse into Eagle River at, you know, an expense to the city and a lot of scrambling around. So he was pretty clear in the fact that they needed to have a better backup wind program that necessitated that. I'm sure there were calls to his office. There was some confusion, although they got it. I mean, and he admittedly said they got it out a little late, that where they were having to cancel pickup. And I think part of that was due to the fact of waiting to see what the borough was able to do. And he certainly didn't point any fingers at the borough, since, you know, it was kind of out of everybody's control, and it becomes a safety issue for garbage truck drivers. But it's good to know that they've learned a few lessons, that they plan to have some type of a backup plan in place for the next windstorm, because inevitably there will be one. And that thought that was, he gave a good report about that.
Right. And I we had talked to him a bit about that when he was in on Friday last week. And we will take it upon ourselves to make sure that if there's a heavy wind going, that we will remind people that it's unlikely that the city, and when the city announces that the city is unable to pick up. And he also pointed out the distinction between picking up the large dumpsters, which are very often filled many times in the week for businesses, mm-hmm. and the smaller units. You could still, you know, the big ones aren't going to blow away. There's still the question of where do you take it. But the small ones, yes, they, even if you fill them, they will blow over.
Yeah. So did he say how many garbage cans they had to fetch?
No.
I know that you often see them blowing around on days like that. I know we have ours with our name and address and everything on them, which is the prudent thing to do. But, yeah, for everybody's safety, it's good to do that. And it's a challenge because we have to admit in this time, in this era, there's a lot of ways people are getting information. Some just get their, I think some 60% get their information off of Facebook. But if you're not a Facebook user, you know, they have to look another. So I think what he's talking about is maybe getting a robocall out earlier which they do quite effectively to people.
As long as people are willing to be robocalled.
On the robot. Yeah,
yes.
There we go.
Yeah, there's the other choice. Well, we'll fill in the blanks as well as we can, too. There are people listening to the radio. Go on Facebook, answer their phone, et cetera. And, all that will work.
So that was followed up, Mike, by just a quick little report from Assemblyman Sykes, who was at the joint school board assembly meeting that now happens quarterly, since there's not such an onslaught of projects, no capital, big projects going on or huge issues. He just talked briefly about some of the projects that were getting wrapped up. Palmer's Lockers has been a big deal. They've had some extra bond money here and there, so they've been able to do a few more projects. So there's always a report given at those meetings, and he relayed that information. He did talk about the borough or the school district trying to get together some maybe a possibility of a certificate of participation together for, he didn't say for sure what that was, so there may be some action from that committee as we travel down the way. That was followed up by a presentation to two employees,
Sullivan
and Stephen Hinman, in recognition for their hard work for the borough's Fish and Wildlife Commission. A lot goes on behind the scenes that I don't think people recognize, and salmon is a big, big deal to the Mount Sue Borough, and this Fish Commission is made up of people with huge tons of experience to lead the effort, and they can't do what they do best, which is go to the annual meetings with the state to make sure we get our fair of fish escapement, if it weren't for people in the background that were producing the materials that they're able to present. So that was nice that the commission came forward and said, we want to recognize these two employees. So that's always nice to start up at that.
Yes.
So thank you. Then they had a really good report, Mike, and I just think the assessment department is doing, everybody's getting their taxes right now. Nobody likes to pay property taxes, but it's good to know that the assessment department has really moved forward in the progress of what they're doing. I want to preface this by saying that this we have a state that is a non-disclosure state, so to speak. So when you buy a piece of or sell a piece of property, you aren't obligated to let the state or the city or the borough know what you sold that property for. Which, you know, for some people that's just fine. They don't think that the those bodies should know what they're selling things for. But it does create a bit of a challenge when you're doing these appraisals to find out what the market value is. And that's what they base it on, basically, is what market value is in your neighborhood, including improvements to the property. But they don't have the resources. Somebody suggested that, you know, they should, every 5 years, they should inspect every property. Well, that's just not feasible. There's so many properties in Mat-Su, and they're so far spread out. That would just take an enormous amount of manpower and cooperation from the public, which doesn't always come. There's lots of appraisers. Sometimes I know people, appraisers have come to some of my properties, and they have to ask permission to come on site. And some people don't want to grant that commission. So it's a really tough job. But there's a relatively new department head of that particular department, and I think he's just done a really good job, Brad Pickett, putting together kind of a thoughtful way of letting people know how that department operates. And there he had a handout at the meeting that gave an overview of what the property assessment process was. How they, in January, they do the clerical changes on property values and get ready for those little cards that come that we all got probably this week or the last couple of weeks. They get those out to us, and then there's an appeal process in March, and in April there's hearings, and then in June they wrap it up. And all that information is on the borough website when it comes to how do I appeal my property assessment. And, you know, some people have indicated, well, you know, it's gone up quite a bit. Well, part of it is the science they're using. Now, they don't have that information on property values, but they do have LIDAR now, which is a mapping program. And that has given them a much better indication of what's out there, who's built new additions to their homes, who has put new structures on their property, who maybe they have missed, frankly, because they just weren't able to get there by foot. So that's improved, I think, what they've been able to see. But the property tax base value has changed a little bit, gone up a smidgen, so that also will make your taxes go up. The good news for you is, a higher property tax assessment is likely to be you're going to get a higher price when you go to sell that property. And hardly anybody I know will sell for the appraised value of the borough. It's always much more than what they appraise for.
Right. He made the distinction between appraisal and assessment as well.
Right. And land rarely goes up in property value. Actually, the land in your house, it's the structure that changes. So he gave a really good handout. A couple points that I want to make that I think is interesting. Lots of new single-family construction out here. Really kind of hit a high bar here when he gave a graph from 2013 to 2001. So lots of new construction than we've seen in single-family homes. The other important part, I think, Mike, is to let people know he had a pie chart in that handout for exemption by value and how many people or how many structures just don't really pay any property tax that takes them out of the pie, so to speak.
Right.
Senior citizens, disabled is a big chunk. And, of course, we went from $150,000 in value exemption, which is what most cities do at this point, and added another $60,000 to that a couple of elections ago, oddly. So that's a high number. So there's a lot of senior citizens that don't pay, and that can be argued a couple of different ways for another time. Disabled
sure.
veterans are a piece of the pie. The borough itself, of course, isn't going to tax itself or any educational facilities because they own all that.
Right.
Then there's the religious exemptions, the native corporations, all the municipal corporations, charitable nonprofits that don't pay, community purpose buildings, state of Alaska. This goes on and on. So there is a lot of what you drive by every day, and for a varied reasons, do not pay into this property tax.
Well, I thought there were two interesting things about that. One, that the mayor was quick to point out that the senior exemption was not the largest amount, that all of these others were much larger in their impact upon reducing the monies flowing in. I thought that was important.
It's not, but it's the fastest growing one.
Right.
That's the kind of scary thing as you look out down the road. We have the fastest growing senior population in the state, and it's because of the affordable housing to some degree here. So that's something to watch. But yeah, it was a good point. The average single cost of a single family dwelling went up to $249,285, which is about a 2.68% increase. So that average assessed value has gone up a little bit. All really interesting things that he had to say. He gave a chart from 2011 to 2017 about the appeal process, and it's kind of staggering. There are a lot of people that appeal. Last year about 267 people appealed, and they did some property adjustments on them. It is, if you really think that they don't have the right information, you are, you can't appeal these things. So,
sure.
But Using Imagery has done it. Another really important thing, I think, is that they improved the process for their exemptions, and they removed 43 senior disabled veteran exemptions, which saved the borough about $7 million. Of $7 million. So it saved the borough got back about $78,000, almost $79,000 in taxes because people were claiming these properties and weren't living in them. And it could be just as innocently as someone moved outside and rented their house and didn't think about the senior exemption and just didn't roll it out, go back and tell the borough that. But in any case, they were able to do that by implementing some auditing processes, which needs to be done.
But, the biggest takeaway for me was a statement that the presenter made about ensuring that everybody was carrying part of the weight. And I thought that his point about the improvement in the way of finding houses that had been built or in the borough that have not been on the roll, so to speak, for tax purposes. And there were hundreds of such structures. Mm-hmm. And
that's what LIDAR enabled them to do.
Yeah, and of all those things, that just a reminder that if, you know, even though you build your place out of pocket somewhere, it is still part of the borough, and there is a need to contribute as a result of that.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, mill rates, you know, can be argued that are a little high here, but they're not all just mill rates. Part of it is service area rates for EMS and fire service, and we're still growing those bases here. We still have a primarily volunteer EMS department here, so, and we're billing facilities. There's been bonds that get added to that, so it's not always just them looking at your house. There's a lot of those added value things that are just part of a growing community.
Right.
We just don't have the density of people here like they do in Anchorage to spread it out. So, it's a complicated issue, but I thought he did a really good job, and I had a little interaction with him after, and thanked him for the presentation and making it so simple for people to understand. And he said they are, and I urged him to put the handout out, spread it widely. And he said they're going to refine it a little bit, and then they are going to get it out to people. So,
very good.
Yeah. So I think the next big thing that they talked about, Mike, which they didn't really talk about, which I was really kind of expecting, it was the change in establishing the sales tax in Talkeetna.
That just slid right through.
Yeah, that this is something that Assemblyman Kowalki brought forward. There's been some unhappiness up in Talkeetna, some business owners that, while they were supportive, in fact, one even spoke of knowing they had to pay something to improve their sewer and water system up there. They needed a cap on it. So they implemented the first $1,000 of sale is subject to the sales tax. And I think that passed unanimously. So I expected some discussion on it.
Right. No, it just really went right on through. But then we had the interesting discussion that went on for quite a while. I'm thinking you may be moving to this next, that had to do with setting of term limits for boards and commissions.
Yeah, something that Barbara Doty brought through. Putting some term limits on borough boards. I mean, her concern, she is a proponent of term limits. She said on every level, she thinks that you need to turn things up and to get new, fresh eyes on things. And she said, we don't do a good job of advertising for these positions for the community to serve on. And she thinks that will, you know, sort of push that point so that we can get more people involved in the day-to-day what goes on with the government. But boy, she found not a lot of love on this.
No, except for one person who came up to be heard, who spoke a couple of times, a lady who had a lot of detail.
We should get a copy of that. It was pretty interesting. She had done a lot of homework on how many boards and commissions had met, when they had met, who was actually meeting. It was really probably the forensic work that should have been done before this got put on the table a little bit more.
Was it your impression that even though she was presenting this information, that the assembly members had already made up their minds and were not, they really were not responding to what she was saying or using that as part of the decision process of whether they were going to go one way or the other?
Yeah, I think that this is an ideology point. It's also, if it's not, you know, somebody indicated if it's not broke, let's not fix it. I do think that some of them, although I think there were a few, Ted Leonard actually was one of them that said he was open to the idea. He wanted to learn more, which I'm always glad to hear that.
That's true. Yep.
And there were a couple that clearly had problems with just a couple of the particular commissions on, and one being the fish and Wildlife Commission that just takes a certain amount of expertise, and they don't want to chase those people off, frankly, because they've been hard to find and they're very effective. Now, there was a move at one point, I think by Assembly Member Sykes, to exclude both that and the Historical Preservation Committee, which he thought were sort of specialized committees, commissions out of the ordinance, but that didn't go very far either. He'd even tried to delay it a little bit so that they could learn more about it, but he was pushed back on that. So it died on the table with not enough votes to get it passed. So it doesn't mean it can't come back in some other form.
Well, it was very interesting that there were two votes there. Another vote, which were 3-3, showing that Assemblyman Beck's absence would have more definitively provided an answer. The mayor did vote to settle a tie on one item, but
that was the overall vote, I think.
Right. So it's kind of an interesting thing when you have seven people up there. Anyone missing, it can have a big effect.
Yeah, that's where you see it often. And I was sort of surprised they didn't do it here because there wasn't any public testimony on it, really. But sometimes they'll delay it, knowing somebody.
Sure.
Back.
Right.
But it didn't happen this time, so we'll see what that is. Another one that was on the agenda, Mike, that didn't get any talk, which surprised me, was a resolution. They didn't pull this, did they? Maybe I'm wrong. A resolution declaring the Buffalo Mine Soapstone Community Council inactive.
Right. That's not going to. That wasn't discussed. It. I thought went away to be.
No, I think they pulled the next one, which is a resolution about the moving some funds from the Old Glenn Highway. That's what my notes say.
Ah. Okay. Okay.
I think this one passed.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't mean that it can never revive again. It just means we're putting it in the parking lot until someone comes forth saying they want to continue the effort. I think they have to go through some hoops to do that. But yeah, nobody there to talk about that. So
yeah. That was the interesting thing, especially since a little bit later, the president of the council up at Glacier View, Joseph Davis, came in to talk independently, but mentioning, you know, the Glacier View Community Council is alive and very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one thing I wanted to mention, Mike, about this meeting that we didn't talk about was some news from the manager and the manager report. I've seen a little few blurbs on social media about this, about work had some gentlemen from the timber industry from New Zealand that he introduced during
right.
the manager report, and indicated that they were working towards what could be a very big deal for the borough having to do with the port. And there's been some comments about the fact that they're not being transparent about this, and if they're selling timber, there should be a process. Well, it's very early in a process, and it didn't have to do with the sale of timber. I think it has to do with the shipping of it, and it's just too early to tell. And these kind of things, I think what he was doing is much like when they decided to sell the land across the street from the medical center and some other things. They're in the primary conversations with this, and I'm sure there's been enough people that know he just wanted to get it out there that they were working on something. And I think everybody, no matter where you stand on the port, wants to see some income from there.
Sure.
So we'll follow that and see how it goes. But I don't think there was any particular skullduggery there that we didn't identify. And that was kind of it, Mike. They went into special session. They had a special session on potential litigation about the AK LNG project. This has been in the papers a little bit, that the route that was has been picked for this is not including on borough land, and they are they're talking about suing about that because they don't think they got a fair deal on it. At least that's what the papers have reported. So I didn't stick around to see. Normally they come out of there and they don't have much to say because they can't. And unless they took any action, it wasn't relayed to me, but maybe we'll find out differently in a day or two.
Yep. Yeah. We'll take a look and see if anything has come up, because that potentially is another involvement of the legal department for the borough, which has had its hands full doing all kinds of things recently.
Very small staff, too.
Yep. Yep.
So that's kind of it for this, Mike. Now, there was a school board meeting last night, but let's be fair to that, and we'll listen to it. I'm sure you'll have that up in a next day or so, and we can try to get that discussed next week.
We will do that. Okay, well, citizen lobbyists, thank you for the detail there. We watched that meeting. It was an interesting meeting at the assembly because it was relatively short when they broke for the executive session, an hour and a half or so. But they covered a lot of ground, and there were some people there, but it wasn't a very large crowd by any means.
Right. And now that we're done with our broadcast, I can tell you that all my notes disappeared. So that was all by memory.
Whoa. Okay.
We'll try to be better with that. All right.
Well, thank you. Bye.